a plan. In Naomi's world, a mother-in-law had a responsibility to help secure the future of her daughter-in-law. Naomi first tried to do that back in chapter 1, when she urged Ruth and Orpah to stay in Moab. Now, Naomi is still thinking about Ruth's future and her safety. Remember, unmarried women and widows had very little security in this world. No status, no property, no social safety net, very little power. So Naomi comes up with a plan for Ruth to be cared and provided for. And she tells Ruth that Boaz and his men will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. It was customary for the landowner to stay there and guard the grain. Naomi instructs Ruth to wash, put on perfume, and wear her best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. In many ways, commentaries report that she's preparing Ruth to be a bride. Bathing is not an everyday thing in those days. Perfume was reserved for special occasions, and her best clothes, well, it may have been a signal that she was stepping out of her formal time of mourning. However, we understand the details. Naomi wants Ruth to present herself at her best. And as I read this story, I keep noticing how many details are mysterious and left unanswered. Back in chapter 2, Naomi had identified Boaz as kinsman redeemer. Now, that's not a term that we use anymore, so here's a simple definition. A kinsman redeemer was a close male relative who had the responsibility and privilege to rescue a family member in need. That could mean buying back lost family property, purchasing a relative's freedom from slavery, or marrying a childless widow to preserve the family line. Naomi's plan is for Ruth to lie at Boaz's feet at night. In ancient Near East, this was not an act of seduction. It was a respectful, symbolic request. Ruth was placing herself under Boaz's protection and inviting him to fulfill the duties of a family redeemer. I found this interesting from Frederick Buechner in his book, Peculiar Treasures. He describes the situation this way. Naomi was nobody's fool and saw which way the wind was blowing long before Ruth did. She was dead set on Ruth, making a good catch for herself, and since it was obvious she had already hooked old Boaz, whether she realized it or not, all she had to do was find the right way to reel him in. Naomi gave her instructions. As soon as Boaz had a good supper under his belt and polished off a nightcap or two, he'd go to the barn and hit the sack. Around midnight, she said, Ruth could slip into the barn and hit the sack too. If Boaz's feet just happened to be uncovered somehow, and if she happened to be close enough to keep those feet warm, probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. But she wasn't to go too far, because back in Jericho, Boaz's mother, Rahab, had a rather seamy reputation for going too far professionally, and anything that reminded him of that might scare him off permanently. Ruth's reply to this unusual plan is remarkable. No long questions, no argument, just, I will do whatever you say. Wow. That takes a lot of trust for Ruth to accept this type of plan. Second, proposal. Ruth follows Naomi's instructions. She waits in the darkness until Boaz and the others are asleep on the threshing floor. Then she quietly goes to him, uncovers his feet, and lies down. Boaz wakes with a start and discovers a woman lying at his feet. Ruth answers his question with more than just her name. When she calls herself his servant, she is not calling herself a female slave. In this context, that word servant points to a woman who is available for marriage, an eligible wife. Ruth is showing that her relationship with Boaz is changing, and she asks him to spread the corner of his garment over her because he is the kinsman redeemer. That image of covering carries the meaning of protection and covenant. Ruth is asking Boaz to take his role and enter a marriage bond with her. Boaz responds with gentleness. He calls Ruth my daughter. He says, this act of hesed is even greater than the first. Ruth's first act of hesed was when she came to Bethlehem with Naomi and cared for her. Her second act of hesed was coming to the threshing floor and asking Boaz to marry her. Boaz is honored that Ruth came to him. Ruth did not have to marry a kinsman redeemer. She could have had a younger man and built a future with him. But by choosing Boaz, she is also choosing to protect Naomi's future. This is more than just a loyal gesture. Ruth is living out the commitment she made in chapter 1. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Naomi may have felt that God had abandoned her, but God had given her Ruth, and that is grace. Ruth had hesed for Naomi, and God has hesed for us. In this story, Ruth is reflecting the image of God. God helps Naomi to see that there might be hope in this union between Boaz and Ruth. And God works in Boaz's heart too. Boaz agrees to do what is right and calls Ruth a woman of noble character. We hear those words in Proverbs 31, which describes a woman who follows God faithfully. God's providence is present even when Boaz explains that there is another relative more closely related than he is. Boaz is willing to set aside Ruth's proposal and do what is right. By telling Ruth to stay through the night, he is making a commitment to her. He promises that she and Naomi will be cared for either by him or a close relative. And Boaz protects Ruth's safety and reputation by having her slip away before dawn. Then comes our report. This is the last scene in Ruth 3, and it's short, but it's important. Naomi is waiting for Ruth and wondering how everything went. Ruth comes home and tells Naomi everything that happened. And Naomi is encouraged because Boaz has taken his responsibility seriously. He will not let the matter rest. After Ruth leaves, Boaz goes into town to find that closer relative. And we will hear more about that in chapter 4. But there is one other important detail. Boaz sends Ruth home with a large amount of barley. He tells Ruth not to go back to her mother-in-law empty-handed. Now, this might just seem like a kind thing to do, but that phrase, empty-handed, matters, because Naomi used that same language in chapter 1 when she said, "I went away from Bethlehem full, but God has brought me back empty." Boaz is showing that he cares for Ruth's concern for Naomi's security and well-being. He's not only concerned about Ruth, he's also concerned about Naomi. God allows Boaz to feel compassion for this foreign Moabite widow because of Ruth's hesed love for her mother-in-law. So, a guide for living. This is a beautiful story of hesed love and loyalty. But that was a long time ago. Does it have anything to do with us? Absolutely. In the first few verses, Naomi and Ruth trust God, even though they do not know how things will work out. And we don't get into all the details, but it could have gone way awry. God helped Naomi see a path forward towards security for both her and Ruth. And Ruth accepts the plan without question. How many times have we come to places in our own lives where we're not sure what comes next? Do we have enough money? What will happen with that broken relationship? How do I move forward with this diagnosis? People of God, our passage points us to the answer. As I told the children, trust God. Have faith that God will provide what we need. Trusting God's quiet providence is incredibly hard. Psalm 78:7 says, when they would put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. I had read that verse during my devotions this week, and Tim Keller parses this verse out in his book, The Songs of Jesus. Tim says, we should not know the truth about who God is, but we must trust him from the heart and show the saving faith through a changed life of obedience. My husband Rick and I know this pain firsthand. Our son has made a painful choice to cut all ties with us. And there are days when the grief is heavy and the future feels blank. But in those moments, Rick and I must choose to stand on the truths of Ruth 3. We must trust that God has a plan and we can't see it, and that he holds our son and daughter-in-law firmly in his hand, even when they're firmly out of our hand. Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi all show hesed love in this chapter. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to embody that same faithful love. We cannot do it in our own strength. Our human effort runs dry. But the Holy Spirit can fill us with a loyalty that does not quit when relationships get messy. When we show steady commitment to God and to one another, we reflect his image to a fractured world. We have a book study that we are leading called Welcoming the Stranger, And we're learning many about that many people need our love and concern and protection. Look at who God uses to bring about redemption in this story. A poor widow from an enemy nation. There are people all around us who need protection, advocacy, and concrete concern. So I encourage you to find ways to defend and provide for the fatherless, the widow, and the foreigner. For we are told in Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19, "For the Lord your God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." When we open our lives and our church doors to the vulnerable, we are, in a sense, spreading the corner of our garment over them. We become the hands and feet of Jesus, showing them that they can find safety under the wings of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your chesed, your fierce, loyal love that refuses to let us go, even when we feel empty or uncertain about tomorrow. Lord, we lay our heavy burdens at your feet today. Broken relationships, financial strain, diagnosis, and the deep ache of family estrangement. Give us the grace to trust your quiet providence and hold our loved ones and all that is unknown in your hands. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might reflect your image. Inspire us to actively love, defend, and provide for the fatherless, the widow, and the stranger in our communities, welcoming them just as you have welcomed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.